Hi there, everyone. It is James here with Alistair, and this is the It's Your Move podcast for the week. And we have just started the kind of our in-between series. We haven't finished with the story, but we're starting a series. It's
My brother's keeper.
My brother or sister's or keeper. Am I my brother or sister's keeper? And Alistair's with me. And yeah, we're going to be discussing a couple of questions around the sermon.
So James, firstly, from my side, I'm super excited about the series. I think it's something that's practical. I think that the church can relate to it. I can certainly relate to it. And as I was sitting there and listening to this, I was already encouraged to work on my discipling relationships. And yeah, I've got a few questions, just a little bit more detail around some of the things that you've mentioned in the sermon this morning. If I can go ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
So the one scripture that stuck with me was the Colossians scripture, the Colossians 1 scripture, where you were speaking about, because I can certainly relate to this. It's very difficult to find the line between having a discipling relationship that's maybe too social versus being there and helping each other spiritually. And that Colossians 1 scripture, you mentioned this, you said that the goal obviously is to present each other fully mature in Christ. So yeah, it's about focusing on helping one another to grow spiritually. But what does that look like practically in the discipling relationship itself?
I mean, I think one of the things to try and fight for is also not to be weird. You know, I think there's maybe a sense if you are helping someone who's young and who's just come out of the world and has become a disciple, and now I'm teaching them and I'm training them, and you know, it becomes very, you know, it becomes a very much a kind of a mentoring, a teaching, a training relationship. And I think that becomes quite clear. It's, you know, their temptation is to go off to the left and I'm there to meet with them regularly and help them, you know, kind of stay on the course that they themselves signed up for but maybe are struggling with. I think as a relationship either gets older, or maybe they are a scenario where it's two disciples who have been disciples for many years are getting together and in a discipling relationship. I think a lot of it is just about caring for each other's spiritual growth. I don't think it has to be complicated. I don't think it has to be awkward. I think the foundation of this idea is, you know, you and I are friends and I care about you spiritually. Yes, I want us to have fun. Yes, you know, I appreciate the friendship, et cetera, but over all of that is I want you to do great spiritually. And what does that mean? And how can I set our relationship up or make sure that our relationship is set up in such a way that it's not just social, it's not just how's it buddies getting to know each other better, but it's also spiritual. And I think that it'll differ from situation to situation, but I think if that's at the heart of it, then even, you know, again, it doesn't have to be weird, and you don't even, this shouldn't even apply to people that you're in a discipling relationship. This is just your friends in the kingdom. It's like, man, I care that you're doing well. Man, you're going through a rough time. Let me get in there and help you. Boy, I can see you in sin. You know, I don't know what your disciple is saying, but I'm going to get in there and help you because I care about you spiritually. And I think that's the heart of these relationships, is it's around spiritual maturity, and all of the other stuff comes as a result of that focus. And I think if that spiritual element isn't there, it's very easy for the friendships to become worldly, essentially, where God gets taken out of the friendship. And it's fun, you spend a lot of time, but God's not in it.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm just thinking of relationships in my life. And I know that there are some that just, you know, you meet someone and you just click. What happens if you, let's say you put into a discipling relationship with someone that's perhaps an introvert, you know, that keeps things to themselves and doesn't share and it's not open, and you're an extrovert and you're trying to help this person, but nothing's coming from that side. I mean, there's a big chance that you might not naturally get along with someone. How do you work around those differences?
Look, I think it's a good question. To be honest, I think those are the best opportunities for growth. There's something that just feels very, I don't know if it kind of, yeah, if you're just spending time around and in discipling relationships with people like you, there's a lack of diversity that I think really in your own relationships and your own way of seeing the world that you miss out on. And if I had to think of the various different temperaments and kinds of people that I've been in discipling relationships over the years, I mean, some so different to myself, but you just learn to see the world in a little bit of a different way. And I think, you know, what better place to learn patience, understanding, service, kindness, and being compassionate and considerate, forgiveness, than in a relationship with someone who's totally different to you. So, I think those are great opportunities for both. So I think to be discipled by someone who sees the world differently to you is a gift, but also for you to have to learn how to help different kinds of people. I mean, think about it as a parent even, how you need to learn how to handle, you know, different children in different ways based on who they are. I mean, it's a gift. So, you know, you need to spend lots of time. You need to be very quick to listen, slow to speak. So I think a lot of the assumptions that you can make with someone who's like you, you can't make those assumptions with someone who's different. Yeah. And then, you know, what I will say as well is sometimes there's also just not good chemistry. And I think it's okay if you've sought a lot of advice and a discipling relationship isn't working out, to be able to say, you know what, it's just not really working out and we still love each other and, you know, we want to do our best for God, but maybe this isn't the best relationship. And I don't think it's right to end a relationship on a bad note, but I certainly do think that not all relationships are meant to work out. And I think that's something that needs to be discussed with close confidence.
Okay, all right. So, yes, just as a final question, and I'm picturing this. I'm picturing myself in a relationship, a spiritual relationship with another brother. And we've now noticed this morning after the sermon that, you know, we lean much more to the social side. So we're hanging out, we're doing things together, we get along amazingly.
Yes.
And we're sort of falling short on the spiritual side. So just to help myself and this particular person, just to get back to where we should be, just again, practical tips that you can leave with us on how to build from there.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it is helpful to look at, okay, so what, you know, how does God view our relationship? You know, is he looking at it saying, wow, this is really great stuff? Or, you know, if he was to give a synopsis or a diagnosis of what could be better, really try and think what that would be, you know, looking at the one another scriptures. It could be something as simple as, you know, how often is the Bible being opened in the relationship? It doesn't have to be a rebuke. It can just be encouragement. But is the Bible the center of it? Sometimes that's a way to go. I would look at things like regularity. Not just are we meeting regularly, but are there regular phone calls and checking in? Things like, do you know what's going on in their personal and work life?
Yeah.
Do you know their boss's name? Do you know some of the colleagues that cause them to struggle by name? Yeah. Are you able to, you know, just really, really get in there and know each other and ask a lot more questions and talk? And there's no substitute for time in that scenario. You need lots of time. I've had discipling relationships where we've met once a month. The reality is they're terrible relationships. Yeah. Christ is not being formed. It's a check-in. It's a tick the box. It's not the way it's meant to be.
Is there a prescribed getting together time? So, I mean, would you suggest once a week? And then just taking it a step further, I mean, I'm a very practical person, yes. So I think very practically. So for me, it'll be, okay, so this week we can hang out this Friday. We can go and shoot some pool, just spend some time getting to know one another on a social side. And then next week when we get together, let's grab the Bible. Let's talk through your life. Let's see how we can help you. Is that a bit too boxed in? Or how would you say, from a time perspective and a method perspective, what do you think would be ideal?
Look, you know, let's talk about, especially with a younger Christian, I would say every week, absolutely. You know, once you've been a Christian for 5, 10, 20 years, you know, can it be once every 2 weeks? Especially if I had to look at my scenario, you know, I meet with my discipler every 2 weeks. But I'm also meeting every 2 weeks with another 4 people that I disciple. So I'm in a lot of discipling relationships. Sure. So I feel a little bit hemmed in sometimes. So, you know, would it be difficult to transition all of those relationships into weekly? It would, but the contact is regular. So, you know, yes, it's not necessarily an hour or two every week face to face, but the contact is certainly regular. In terms of what those times look like, I think, and we'll actually discuss this later in the series, for younger Christians and for younger people, so teens and campus, I think a little bit more structure is helpful and is needed.
Yeah.
But I think as, you know, as a relationship matures, I think it should be very needs dependent, you know, that I should be mature enough to be able to go to my discipler and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can we not socialize today? Can we talk about what's on my heart? Or, hey, you know what? It's been a really rough week. I would love it if we could just go and play some pool together. Or, you know, I think the, you know, one can drive one's own discipling to a certain extent. But I'd most probably argue that the question that one should ask no matter what, even if you're playing pool, even if you're just going to watch a sports game together or have coffee, is, hey, how's it going spiritually? Simple question, but it opens up so many doors for further conversation. And I think I would argue that if your friendships, and we're talking not about people who you are necessarily discipling, just your friends that you are spending a lot of time with or your family group, are you asking that question? Do you know what's going on? And I think that question, you know, yeah, that doesn't have to be bound by a certain schedule. But, you know, we're all different and the needs are all very different. And, you know, we will discuss some of that later in the series as well.
That's great. James, thanks so much. That's it from my side. Yeah, look, like I said, super excited about the series. And yeah, yes to better, growing better relationships.
Amen. I think maybe just before we close out, just one thought. I think, you know, for those who aren't in functional relationships, as in you're sitting there like, okay, my discipling isn't going great. Questions you need to ask yourself is why. So, you know, is it because you're being proud? Are you not being open? Are you not being willing to submit yourself to someone else? And I think in our, certainly my and your age group ministry, we have a lot of peer-to-peer discipling. Yes. So it's not someone who's been a disciple for 20 years longer than you passing on wisdom. It's, we kind of all in this together, and it just so happens that I'm discipling you or you're discipling me. I think it's just being willing to say, am I open to God using this person, this peer of mine, to work in my life? And I need someone to confess to and to get advice from, and it's not just going to be from them, there'll be other people to get advice from, but am I open to, for this moment in time, this brother or this sister, I'm giving them permission to speak into my life, I'm opening myself up to them having a word with my soul. And that takes humility. And if you don't have the humility, if you are like, hey, only if Jesus disciples me will I be, you know, then you got to, there's a whole lot of character related things going on. And, you know, there's, I know many in the church, you know, you've got baggage that makes it difficult to disciple you. The walls are high, the defenses are up, and there's all kinds of reasons for that. But I think you're the one missing out. You're the one who's losing out on God being able to work in your life, because your walls are too high when it comes to the people around you. So, you know, and if you only want a Yoda, if you feel like, hey, if it's, as long as it's Yoda, then I'll, then, you know, there's a problem, because there's not a lot of Yodas around.
Yeah. And I think it's when you humble yourself out that God can start working, and it's helpful for you, but it's also helpful for the person discipling you.
Totally.
And of course, where there's humility, God will just start working in your life. Yeah. So totally. I think that's very good advice.
And maybe just a last point on responsibility. I think it becomes a tricky one, because I do think we are fully responsible for ourselves. And I've certainly had relationships where I've got the impression that the other person wants me to take responsibility for them. So they're not feeling encouraged, it's because of me. They're not feeling loved, it's because the family group isn't loving them enough. They're not growing, it's because the church's fault. And you know, I think it important to remember in this is that the fact that we have a responsibility for each other doesn't take away responsibility from yourself. And I think the whole idea is that in having collective responsibility, I'm not giving up the responsibility that I have for myself. I'm 100% responsible and accountable for my actions. But there's this family that God's put me in, where I've got brothers and sisters around me who aren't going to let me fall, who don't want me to be discouraged, who don't want me to stray from the path that God's put me on, that wants me to be fully mature, and I'm just not capable of doing that myself. And so there's this collective responsibility, but it's not any time the idea of being each other's keepers or having a collective responsibility means a step away from having responsibility for yourself, then there's a misinterpretation going on. And I think that's something important to wrestle with if that's your tendency. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's practical. And yeah, it's finding that middle point where, you know, this is where I take responsibility for myself, and when somebody else gives me advice, is to actually say, you know what, this person's caring about me and is concerned about me. So yeah, let me hear what they have to say and then work on that.
Absolutely.
James, thanks so much.
Amen. Thanks, yeah. Alistair. And cheers, everyone. Hope you guys have a good good week, and hope you enjoy the series. I think it's going to be practical, and I think it's going to be, hopefully it'll be useful.
Thanks.
Amen. All right.